I
shut up and get some toad in your room. I'm sorry, I just thought shut up and toad your room would be something you'd say a lot.
No. Yeah, Olivia's still sad because she hasn't gotten her yet her invite yet.
Tell her to look out for a bloody owl.
How about AARP, Amy?
AARP, Amy.
Shut up, Lois.
That's almost as bad as mine.
Okay. Enterprise, how can I help you? Oh, engineering, please hold a quick through. Thank you.
Mr. Scott, you have a call at the front desk. Mr. Scott, you have a call at the front desk. Paging Dr. McCoy. Paging Dr. McCoy.
Romulan Sunline 3, Captain, do we accept reverse charge down calls?
Not from the bloody Romulans, we know.
That was my bread maker telling me it's finished.
Ooh, you're making bread.
It's made me a chipata.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Shut up, Chokey.
What's it? Oh, yeah, that's my name now, Chokey. So, the ladies love it.
Called it Votan because it's a piece of shit and it doesn't work properly.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, cool. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 69 of the Happiness Patrol. We are very happy today to present this.
69?
Yeah, it is. It's episode number 69.
Oh, one of us has to do a Bill and Ted episode then. Bill and Ted impression. 69, dude.
As you all can tell, we have a special guest today, Mr. Tim Drury from Tim.
Lois, you should have just said Leela's voice has dropped because she's got a cold.
Oh, yeah, okay. Leela's voice has dropped. Leela, how you doing today, hon? How you doing?
I don't know.
Tim Drury from Tim's Take on Doctor Who is here today. Excellent podcast. You should go and check it out. And Tim is here via the Happiness Patrol's Doctor Who Podcast Exchange Program. Yay.
So, you mean Leela's been abducted by bloody Hogwarts?
Leela's been abducted. Actually, Leela is feeling a little bit under the weather, and so am I, actually. But you know what? I made it, for crying out loud. But anyway,
yeah,
Leela. That's beside
he made it. That's because we'd have crucified him if he didn't.
Somebody's got to edit this thing. So anyway, welcome, Tim. Welcome to the Happiness Patrol.
Welcome, Tim. We hope you have a nice time.
I'm sure I will. This is slightly weird for me because normally I'm at work laughing at Dale, and the only people can hear me are in nearby offices. Now Dale has to hear which bits are funny.
So yeah,
Dale doesn't give a shit which bits are funny.
So from Cambridge we have Tim, and from Brighton we have Dale. Dale, welcome once again, sir. It's good to hear your voice.
I like the way you call me sir. That's quite good.
Well, you deserve respect here on the Happiness Patrol.
I think that's Aretha Franklin, darling.
Okay, well, R-E-S-P-E-T-T. Okay, so, but speaking of respect, hey, Nancy.
Hello.
Oh, look, the perky ones in.
How are things on the other side of the continent? In San Fran.
Just fine. A little foggy, but, you know, that's normal.
Yeah, but it's September.
Yeah, I know. Actually, well, we got another week or two before it actually becomes summer.
Oh, yeah.
A little what? It's a little what over there?
Foggy.
Foggy.
Oh, foggy.
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 Foggy, with an F. Yes.
Yes. Yes. No, clouds that are down at ground level.
Yes, yes. So, but that's okay. We're all good with that. We can
don't
get you that.
Don't tell chicken licking.
What? What, Dale?
Don't tell chicken licking that the sky is falling.
Okay. Chicken licking. I thought it was chicken little. You know we're getting way off
what?
The subject.
Go away.
Chicken licking. Chicken licking? Like as in finger licking good.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I know what you're talking about when you say chickens in Brighton, so.
No.
See, I'm hip to it. I understand what the hell is going on over yonder.
Lewis, you wouldn't be hip to it if you were the only person left on the damn planet. Now get on with it.
You're probably right. So anyway, we got a lot to talk about. We had a wonderful time watching The Girl Who Waited. Yes, we did. Well, I did anyway, and we're going to find out if the rest of us did. We're also going to talk about we just saw the final episode in Torchwood Miracle Day. It was called The Bloodline, and it finished Torchwood for us, or at least, you know, for now. So we'll wait and see if there's going to be more Torchwood. We got that to talk about. And also, a couple other things and that sort of stuff. But, you know, enough of this, enough of me, enough of that. The Happiness Patrol starts right now. There you have it. So, Tim, welcome to the Happiness Patrol. We're glad to have you here. So, tell us a little bit about your podcast, Tim's Take on Doctor Who. How long have you been doing it, and why are you doing it, for crying out loud?
I think, like most fans who podcast, it's not because we're necessarily good enough to make the program, but we're the sort of people who shout at the TV when the program annoys us, and so... now I shout at the TV and then talk more calmly into a mic afterwards. But it's been going in some form or other since 2008, and it's been inspired by various other podcasters. There's a guy called Tony C. Smith who does Starship Sofa, and he was the sort of original inspiration for it, because he did an episode one day where he just took his audio recorder and went off with his kids and his dogs for a long walk near his work and just kind of talked. And I thought, hey, I don't need to do all that sitting at home stuff. If I get an audio recorder, I can do like instant reviews somewhere. So at first it was like walk out of the cinema and try and review a film about a few minutes afterwards.
Right.
And that sort of worked for some films and sort of worked for others, and it kind of chugged along doing that for a while.
And then it
kind of moved into doing that with TV, and it seemed to work better. And then eventually last year it relaunched as a Doctor Who podcast, and so it's still called Tim's Take On rather than Tim's Take On Doctor Who, because it allows me to be flexible, and now and again I can do what I call off-topic specials.
Right. Well, like, cool.
It's called Every Week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Back in June, I did a whole walk around Brighton and podcasted it, and it's sitting around in every...
gay life. Tim's Take on the Disgusting Sewer that is Brighton.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, I didn't say that. Dale said that, so any letters from Brighton.
He can say what he likes about Brighton. He lives there.
That's true.
It's like any of these places.
I can't like the sound of that.
Tim's Take on what? What did you say, Dale?
Buggery.
I'm at times oddly positive about other people's hometowns, because...
Because you don't have to live there.
I did my fourth podcast about visiting Wales recently, and on one of the days I took the train to Newport. Dale, who like me is a big fan of police boxes, will appreciate that you look at a Google map and you say, half an hour walk. I can do a half an hour walk in a town I've never been to before. So I set off Google Map in hand and GPS phone in hand, and only got lost on a couple of occasions, and eventually walked all the way to the called locally the Newport TARDIS. Yes. Well, it is.
But it's very, very nice, because they've done it up beautifully.
It is nice, and You'd have probably done the same as me, Dale. You've walked all that way, and then you stay there for another 10 minutes because you think, I can't just walk away from this thing.
No, actually, what I do is I get a taxi there because I'm lazy and spend about half an hour drooling over the thing and hugging it and taking pictures and hugging it some more and taking pictures. Oh, and hugging it. And then I get a taxi back.
There were curious locals nearby, and I think I got stared at enough for taking photographs and shooting bits of video. I don't think I'd have gone quite as far as hugging it.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you kept your pants on, I guess everything's fine. So Tim, you usually do your podcast
arrested for most.
So Tim, sir, you usually do your podcast singularly. You're the host, and you're the producer, and you're the editor, and that's it. Correct?
Yep.
So
just me with a bare bones minimum
with
equipment. Some podcasts produce these behind the scenes photos, and you'll see things like the Oodcast, and they say we've just set up for an episode, and there'll be like a room full of mics and leads and things, and I'm going, it's just me, my laptop, and this tiny little digital recorder. What do you need all that stuff for?
No, we should so do that. We should go, we've just set up for an episode of the Happiness Patrol. There could be a cup of tea and a glass of water. And a ukulele.
Yeah, my
K9.
There you have it. That should be fine. So part of the Doctor Who podcast exchange program that we're trying to do here with other podcasters, just to self promote ourselves and also cross promote. Yeah, go Happiness Patrol. Go Happiness Patrol. So, and that, and cross pollinate with other podcasts to see, you know, trade out, you know, some of our listeners, our people for their people, you know, have people on, you know, who we may not, you know, get to hear all that time, and find out more about their podcast, because I think it's a curious thing, and I think that our listeners would benefit from it, so that they would go and say, you know what, I'm going to go listen to them. Yes, I'm babbling. I'm sorry.
Lewis.
Yes, Dale.
Our listener.
Yeah.
There we are.
That's the one. We hope that you.
George from Sheffield.
We hope George from Sheffield will benefit from this and go and listen to Tim Dury's take on.
Nancy, stop making cricket noises.
It was a cricket noise from George. George from Sheffield. So all you other podcasters out there, make sure you tune in and
in the other direction,
and drop us a line, because we would definitely like to hear from you if you'd like to partake in this, because you know it's not just a Happiness Patrol thing, it's a whole podcast thing. So let's do this, you know, let's promote each other, let's make it happen, right, Tim?
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing. So anyway, on with The Girl Who Waited. This was pretty remarkable, simply because we saw Amy Pond in a way that we've never seen Amy Pond before. And that's, you know, post-menopausal.
That's not a nice way to put it.
We saw...
No, it's...
Okay, let me get my ass together.
Right hand to you.
So we have, yes, absolutely. Before it gets handed to me, I'll get my ass together. You know, we saw Amy in a way that we've never seen her before, and a dynamic of her personality that might be, or has been, or will be, because it's all timey-wimey, and that's the way that goes. But all in all, man, oh man, what a spectacular episode. What a visually stunning episode, I have to say, right off the bat. Now, Dale, would you like to go first?
I'm going last.
You're going to go last on this? Well, you know what?
I think our guest should go first.
I think our guest should go first. Tim.
No pressure then.
No pressure at all. not really. Just tell me what you thought. I mean, did you get any spoilers, or were you wary of all the spoilers, or did you sort of stay away from that before you watched the episode, or what?
I used to get more spoilers than I get now, because I always look at the Doctor Who set reporter things, but I've developed this skill of just looking at the photographs and skimming through any bits of dialogue or plot they've heard about. And so, no, I about as near as I got to spoiler with this was what was written in Doctor Who magazine, which wasn't much in the episode preview.
So, what was your first impression?
Well, white studios.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen that many white studios since 1980s BBC comedy programs, but they made it work for them.
Oh,
they made it work for them, and they had the contrast too, because at certain points Amy escaped to dark, dingy zones with bits of smoke coming up, and that was a lot more creepy. But I think to some extent they had their work cut out for them, because it's hard to make something that's so white and so bright seem sinister. And so it's just as well they had these robots.
Yeah. This is a kindness.
This is a kindness. Oh, that, yes,
this,
absolutely.
This is a kindness.
It was funny. There were white robots. You know, to me, it was like the return of the white robots, but, you know, that's getting off
point. I was certainly watching it and thinking, and did this from a point of view of me who isn't a cosplayer, but who knows a few of them, and I was watching it and thinking, now, what in this episode is going to inspire the cosplayers the most? And I think it kind of depends on who the cosplayers are. We're still counting in months away from Chicago TARDIS, so the challenge is on for people at Chicago TARDIS.
Absolutely.
Are they going to be a white robot, or are they going to be a hand bot, or as I dubbed her last night, aged Amy in Amy armor?
Amy armor, yes, absolutely. Amy armor.
No, they're just all going to be walking around wearing the specs that have supposedly got video links in them with giant magnifying glasses. Yes.
That is of course the easy one. Brother, who's better at doing the maths than I am, realised that this older Amy is in her 50s, possibly early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I want some of her DNA, because I'm going grey already, and I'm only 41.
Yeah, and I was wondering where she got the ginger hair dye.
That was interesting. Yeah,
that was one of my few. I had a few other gripes about the makeup job, but the hair was winding me up throughout, because I thought.
Have a little more gray.
She's got no access to shampoo. Uh-huh. She's got no access to hair dye. And nothing that can treat the hair.
Suspend your disbelief.
I had to try and take my.
How do you know she had no access to any of that? Frankly, yeah, if it's going to be things like that, you've got access to gardens. So I'm sorry, you can dial up a loo.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, all she has to do is ask the interface.
Yeah, I guess that kind of was a get out of jail free card for, you know, she could get anything.
Interface.
Where's the toilet?
Interface. Where's the hair dye?
Interface. Do you have the most amazing hair treatment system?
Because I'm worth it.
Yeah, I can see the clip. I can see the commercial now. So you like the episode overall, right, Tim?
Well, yes, I did, because I do like Amy. I don't think I love her to the extent that I've loved, Donna is still my favourite companion of recent years, and.
I'm going to go and shoot myself.
that bad, eh?
No, keep going, Tim. Keep going. He does this all the time.
Donna was great. Donna really was. Donna was fantastic and brilliant and argumentative and not Rose and Martha, thank God. Yeah, but
any companion who, when you tie her up, her first words are, "You have got to be kidding," is fine by me.
Yeah.
So you like you were an Amy fan, or were you not an Amy fan before this episode?
I am an Amy fan. Uh-huh. But I'm kind of a defender of her against certain people who seem to be rubbishing Karen Gillan's acting skills. Uh-huh. And
I think she's great.
Yeah, I think she's perfectly fine. And I was watching it last night, and I thought, well, part of me is just going to sit back. Most of me is just going to sit back and watch this episode. But a certain percentage of me is going to watch her acting skills and see, okay, is she behaving like someone who's several decades older? And I thought, yes, she is.
But Nancy, what do you think about this? What were your first impressions?
I liked it. You know, I love Tom McRae, the author, because if you may recall, he wrote the Cyberman two-parter in series 2.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I always loved that. So I was very pleased to see him return as a writer.
Andrew Hayden Smith. Yes, carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I was very pleased with
that. Calm down, Dale, and have another cup of tea.
So yeah, I was pleased to see him return as a writer, and I thought it was well paced, except for Amy's death scene, which I thought was a little too long.
Yes.
But that aside, yes. I did enjoy it. I did enjoy the whole idea of playing with the different time streams, and the sets were really interesting and stark. And we did my daughter and I did a little when we saw the lobby of Wales Millennium Center.
I noticed that because I was there just the other week.
Yeah.
And that scene came up, and it took me out of it a little bit because I thought, I know that ceiling.
Yes.
I know it's an odd thing to say when you're watching a piece of TV drama, but when you've been there just a couple of weeks before, it does rather grab you.
Although it's much of a muchness because the last time they used the lobby, it was a hospital in New Earth.
Really? I'm gonna have to rewatch these things because I've never been there like you guys. But you know, when I saw it, I immediately thought of like an airport counter, like a ticket counter or something.
It is the ticket counter. It is very big. It takes a little while to walk from one end to the other, and it has very good free Wi-Fi if you're ever there.
So anyway,
they did use the lobby for when John Sim becomes prime minister. He's walking down the staircase.
Yeah, well, they use it a lot. You know, it's been so many of them. That's because they've only got three places they fit.
So the stark use of sets was a big point on me because I love it because it takes you back to old classic Who when they didn't have that much to actually shoot with, you know, or, you know, sometimes they might not have had that big of a budget or whatever. But, of course, this series does have a budget, and they use it when they need it. So to have a Stark set like this was really kind of cool because I really liked it. I love the whole very mod-looking Stark white room and the use of red and green in the buttons, you know. You know, green is for go, red is for stop, you know, that sort of thing. So to push for Karen to push the red button for the waterfall, you just sort of knew that she was gonna do it. You know, don't push the red button for crying out loud. I mean, everybody knows that, right? So it was really cool. It was very cool. And what did you think about the robots, Nancy?
The robots?
Yeah.
They're okay. You know, I don't really have a feeling one way or the other.
What did you think about the Rory bot that she had?
That was cute. I like the Rory bot.
With no hands.
Yeah. And I did like, you know, 50-something Amy, that she had, you know, become kind of very hardened by being alone for so long. I thought that was an interesting aspect of her potential personality to explore. And that she really did love Rory, but she had to remember that she loved Rory. And she hated the doctor. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So what do you think? Do you think that, and this is open to anybody here, do you think that once Amy in this current time stream gets to be that age, do you think that she would be that angry, you know, no matter what? I mean, if she hates the doctor or not. You know,
never happened.
Yeah, because I think if she's with Rory, she's not going to be that unhappy. You know, he's going to keep her grounded.
It was the situation and the isolation that pushed her that way.
Okay. Cool. Well, what was the highlight of this for you, Nancy?
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. I don't know if there really was a highlight. You know, it was just kind of.
It was just good storytelling.
Overall, very good. And, you know, I thought the direction was very good this time. And I just noticed that the same director, I believe his name is Nick Curran, is going to be directing next week's episode.
Oh, nice.
So that's very good.
So we're going to have a lot more, probably a lot, same sort of visuals and very cool Stark visuals like that. I love the way he frames things. He just frames things very nice. The close-ups in this were so amazing, like the close-ups of the doctor, the close-ups in the magnifying glass. It was just really cool to see that. And a large magnifying glass. You know, that was just such a cool sort of Doctor Who annual type sort of thing that you would see. Like, if you know what I mean? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, you'd see stuff like drawn in a Doctor Who annual that you never see on screen. But when I saw that, I immediately thought of that sort of thing. So, But Dale, Dale.
Yes.
What do you think about the girl who waited?
I was really worried going into it.
Oh, really?
Because you know, last week.
Yeah.
Last week broke the mold.
Right.
For the first time in 3 years. So I was actually really quite worried in case I didn't like it again. I loved it. I actually sat there and I thought, actually, this is really cleverly done drama.
Uh-huh.
So it was absolutely brilliant. I love that the it was a very beautiful color change. You know, the stark white of everything in the room is absolutely beautiful because, of course, white is timeless.
Right.
So white always looks futuristic because, you know, it's very Apple. It's very iPod, iPad, iMac. It's all very, very white, very simple, very clean.
Uh-huh.
So Steve Jobs world.
And then, well, more or less, you're right in the middle of all this, you've got this bloody great blue police box arriving,
yeah,
which looks so out of place and yet so beautiful in the same thing.
The shots of the TARDIS in this were just absolutely stunning, the exterior shots. I just loved it. It was just, you know, it was wonderful.
So there was that. There was, second Amy and first Amy, I thought she was brilliant. I love Karen Gillan in this. So I thought older Amy, or aged Amy, as Tim's caller. Actually, I quite like that, aged Amy. That she was great. Older Amy was absolutely great, and I loved the hatred that she had developed. I love Android Rory. Sit down, Rory, and both of them doing that. They both look at each other the same way, and I was just like, that is a beautiful moment. I love the fact that Rory lost his temper with the Doctor. Totally. Great. The magnifying glass. Actually, I can see what you know what you said about the Doctor Who annuals.
Uh-huh.
I can see exactly where it does sound something very much like they were drawing the world annuals with William Hartnell using that.
Yeah.
The peril of Mechanistra or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. That's actually a very good point. I like that. The Doctor seems to be turning into a bit of a git. That is my worry. He lied blatantly to get, you know, to lock out other Amy and then locked her out to her face. It's almost out of character for him. I mean, rule one, the Doctor lies. We know that because it's been said over and over and over and over again. But it was a little cold.
Well, the Doctor can be cold at times. I mean,
I know he was.
And you saw that a lot in Hartnell.
He's been cold and somewhat distant.
So do you think it's building up to something, or?
I don't know, but you know, I'm keeping an eye on it because it's every time the Doctor does something like that, I just think, oh, that's my Doctor. Should I be liking that? So, the white robots things are the hand bots. Were absolutely hilarious. I love the fact, you know, literally when its head opened, it looked like the webcam of doom.
Yeah, it certainly did.
Webcam in the middle with 86,000 hypodermic needles ready to kill you. Lovely. Yeah, so it was really, really clever. I loved the writing of it. I thought it was a very clever story. Because before, everyone was going, oh, it's another Amy meets Amy story. I'm like, oh, shut up. But the trailer for next week looks stunningly, stunningly cold and chilling and
same director, right? Right, Nancy?
Yeah.
Same director.
Yes,
okay,
same director.
For both of these. So hopefully we'll have a seemingly continuity there, which would be kind of cool to see, to watch these two back-to-back like that. So
I was relieved. I was so, so relieved because it was such a strong story and such a whole set of really strong performances.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautifully set, beautifully filmed, beautifully shot, all the rest of it. So I completely loved it again.
So this was really good. I mean, it was really nice to see a nice character development and character observation, I guess, between Amy and Rory once again to examine their relationship. And it keeps unfolding a bit.
But it keeps reevaluating their relationship with the Doctor as well.
That's true. And when you see Amy die in this, it doesn't really.
It really affected me. I was blubbing away.
Oh yeah, I mean I was too. Yeah, that's for sure. You know. So, how about you, Nancy? Were you blubbing away?
No. Not really.
You weren't crying at all?
No, you're a hard-hearted bitch.
Yeah, she's a hard-hearted bitch.
Thank you.
Damn, girl.
I just knew, you know, I knew it had to happen. So it was like, yeah, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. But I did think, you know, I think I'm probably taking more of a step back. I don't get as, I just haven't gotten as emotionally involved with the characters in Moffat's era. I hate to say that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
because they die too easily?
I don't know. I just, you know.
Infrequently?
I think the stories have gone from strength to strength. Although, you know, yeah. RTD, I adored his stories.
Mm.
Moffat's are much more story-driven.
Yes, where RTD was more character-driven.
I guess that's the biggest difference.
He was almost more soapy with it. It was a character piece rather than Moffat, where it's a story piece.
Yeah, look at the clever things I can do with the plot.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's more of an analytical puzzle, and I don't get the emotional.
But you know, there's a link that you've always, I mean, whether it's the link to the companion or whether it's the link to the doctor, there's that link that is now assumed to be there.
Right, right. And, you know, it's funny, too, because, like, you know, whether it's story-driven or character-driven, the episodes that really seem to come together the best for the fans are the ones that balance the two, you know.
Absolutely.
Appropriately.
Well, you know,
and we have had a couple of those. So.
Well, I go back to what I've been saying for several years now is, I think that the perfect Doctor Who would be Stephen Moffat writing the plot and RTD writing the characters. I think that would be fabulous. And so I really wish they had collaborated.
So RTD doing a script editing sort of thing as far as
dialogue. No, but just writing, you know, RTD coming up with the characters and or maybe Moffat coming up with the plot and RTD writing the dialogue. That would have been completely awesome.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Because
when RTD was in charge, he never touched Moffat's scripts. He said, you know, I trust you. You go ahead. And he never did anything to them. He didn't dicker with them like he did the other writers.
Mm.
So that's kind of
I can see where you're coming from on that one. Yeah. It would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Maybe for the 50th anniversary.
We'll see what happens. So so how many more episodes do we have before the season ends here?
Three
more episodes. So we're halfway in between. So, Tim, thank you so much for coming on the Happiness Patrol. It's great to have you.
Well, I'll briefly say that I'm really looking forward to the next episode of Doctor Who because it's from the Being Human writer and creator,
Toby Whithouse,
who I was lucky enough to cross paths with at SFX Weekender, and he's another one of these people who you look at on a convention stage and go, how can he be that young and that clever? But he really is.
Wow! Wow!
It's looking like an odd one.
Uh huh.
But it looks like Doctor Who does The Shining. Speaking as a fan of The Shining, I'm all for that.
Absolutely, me too. So Tim, rock on. We will see you, sir, and be good. We can't wait to hear Tim's take on.
Bye guys, good luck with the rest
of
it. See you later. But moving right along, Torchwood Miracle Day. We've seen the last episode. For those of you who haven't seen this,
Oh my God! You're in for such a shock.
Yeah, skip it. Skip this right now because spoilers. Okay. Yes. So it's called The Bloodline, and we see the conclusion of this massive story arc for Miracle Day, and boy. Boy, it was full of a lot of poignant stuff, that's for sure. Dale, you loved it, right?
It's very unfair of me to say this because it's actually quite damning.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times with RTD stuff, he has a lot of problems wrapping things up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally, you suddenly think, what the hell sort of ending was that? You're just left there thinking, well, that was a bit pants.
However, I think the extra script writers, the extra plotting, and all the rest of it, it wrapped up beautifully.
Mm. Yes, it did.
It explained everything, which is very unusual for Russell T. It was well done. It was well shot, directed, filmed, etc., etc., etc. It told you exactly what it was and where it was going, how to solve it, and when they did, it was spectacular. It was great.
Yes.
So Nancy, do you share Dale's enthusiasm here?
Absolutely. I loved it. You know, because going into it, I had no idea how they were going to wrap this up.
Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah. I knew Jack's blood was going to be involved somehow, but the twist with Rex having Jack's blood, it was like, and then the end, oh my God, I totally was not expecting that.
Yep. It was stunning.
And I liked the way they dealt with, you know, getting rid of characters.
Uh-huh.
You know, they wrapped it up so nicely that it can come back for another series, and you've still got a big bad out there to worry about, but slightly disabled big bad. So it's like, okay, you know, they could still rebuild from this, and they could still be a threat.
Right, right.
I really liked that.
I was really pissed off when they killed Esther.
I suspected she was going to
I had a hope, literally. I was like, oh, no, that's Esther's funeral. But then they took out that horrible bitch that I really didn't like, who was the mole in the office, and I was delighted. I was laughing, going, yes, I got her, finally!
But they teased you a little bit there, thinking, oh, my God, she's going to get away.
Yeah. They did that quite well. And, you know, that actress, she portrayed that really, really nicely. She could have easily overplayed that, but she didn't.
Oh, yeah.
She did it really good. So that was pretty cool.
She was, because I actually hated it. I detested the character. That means the actress is doing a perfect job.
Exactly, yeah.
Did you get the very, very subtle but insanely there bloody huge giant subtle Doctor Who reference?
Oh, which one was that?
You didn't hear it, did you? When Rex heals and when Jack heals, listen very carefully to the noise of it healing.
Really?
TARDIS engines.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I have to go listen to that again.
It warps as they heal. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh,
I'll have to listen to that again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Ian said, oh, listen to that. What? And then when Rex healed, I was like, that's the TARDIS. And he went, I told you. Right. So, yes, the TARDIS makes a very, very subtle cameo.
And there was another Doctor shout-out.
There was indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was delighted with all that. It ticked every possible fanboy box.
I enjoyed it. I like the fact that it wrapped up nicely because, like you said, you know, RTD does have kind of a handicap there sometimes. But it did wrap up quite nicely. I wasn't really sure about Oswald Danes with his bomb, you know, thing.
I was good with that.
I thought it was almost a little too cliche, maybe, but I don't know. I guess you should sort of like just accept that, I guess. But
yes, he had to die, frankly. I'm sorry.
He did.
He's an evil, vicious shit who was unrepentant at the end. What? So frankly, boom.
So
hurrah.
What did you guys think of the blessing, the huge hole?
It was really clever. It was so cleverly done.
Yeah, it was.
What did it look like to you?
I know, giant butt crack. Yeah, I know where you're going.
I was just like, RTD, what have you done?
It was very, very cleverly done. I thought that the scene with Gwen's dad dying,
and the
phone being placed next to his ear, so his wife could say goodbye. That was really nicely done again. His mother. Gwen's mum, beautifully played character. I love her. She is just so, so classy.
Oh, and Sergeant Andy. I still adore Andy.
Oh, PC Andy.
Yeah. Well, no, he's Sergeant Andy now.
No, he's PC Andy in my head.
I know. Him sitting there with the girl as she died. I thought that was just so sweet and I love Andy.
I was very surprised when Rex suddenly healed after being shot. I was
I fully expected that one. Sorry,
you don't have
Jack blood going around in you for that long without it having that sort of side effect.
And then I was just like thinking, well, there you go. Now Rex and Jack has a little companion now, like the Doctor.
Well, actually, you know what my daughter said? She said, "It's the Bo BFFs."
Okay, so nobody got that
part from you.
BFF bows.
Although, you do know what it does mean.
What does it mean?
It means stars can do spin-off Torchwood with Rex.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
That's true. They could have Torchwood in the U.S. and Torchwood in Wales. So.
Well, I don't think... I think.
Or Torchwood without Barrowman.
Oh, yeah, they could.
They have to. But I think he doesn't mind coming to L.A. every once in a while.
Oh, no, I think he probably loves it. However, it just makes you wonder how expensive he is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yes. That's a very good point, Dale.
It was bloody brilliant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was a very good capper on this whole thing.
It was
so neatly done. You go in thinking there was no possible way you could wrap up this and this and this, and they did it almost tick box.
Yes,
and we're like, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yes, I finished watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, that was brilliant. And Ian, bless him, Ian got to episode 2 and fallen asleep. So Ian saw episode 1 in the last 10 minutes and said, well, I don't have to watch the rest now, do I?
Yeah, well, you know, that's been the biggest criticism through the entire thing, that it's been a little slow.
Until the last 3 episodes.
I think it's slower than... I think it's slower than what, you know, the usual viewer of Torchwood is used to seeing.
But this is a problem. This is a problem that needs to be addressed with television today.
Uh-huh.
We've altered the way we watch telly so much.
Uh-huh.
If you go back to, let's go back to 1970s.
Uh-huh.
The Talons of Weng Chiang.
Oh, yeah.
6 parts, 25 minutes. It chunters along at a reasonable pace. You know, it's reasonably slow.
Right.
And everything gets wrapped up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we have Buffy, we have Firefly, we have, you know, Doctor Who, we have everything, where the story is done, dusted, wrapped up in 45 and out the door.
Right.
We have forgotten, we haven't forgotten, the viewing public by and large, it seems to have forgotten, what it is like to have a long drama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is something that needs to be addressed. Well, we need more long drama.
It's a different style of viewing, you know. And you do get used to seeing things like that. Whereas
Doctor Who needs concentration because it's so complex.
Right.
This needs concentration and, you know, some level of commitment for a story arc.
Right. Well, there's a lot of contemplating, too, going on here, because there's a lot of issues that RTD is bringing up, big issues, you know, that reflect in the real world today, and that he hammers home. And because of the – I don't know if he's too heavy-handed with some of this and are a little preachy, or if it just seems that way because it is, like, not edited very tightly. It's very loose. You know, and, you know, lets you think about it. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it comes across as issued, heavy-handed, or whatever?
No, I didn't think so.
No, it's very, very pointed, and you can tell where RTD is going, excuse me, I'm a dig here.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's his style of writing, and bloody hell, he's good at it.
Yeah, he does give the finger to a lot of institutions, that's for sure.
Yes, he does.
It's obvious he hates the US and the UK governments with a vengeance.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, it's his work. It's his baby. It's been bloody good. So why the hell not? You know, he is posting. It's the same reason he had massive success with Queer as Folk. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason he had massive success with Doctor Who. It's because he can write this stuff and write it well.
Oh, I do want to take a little time out to congratulate a very special television series in my heart, and I'm sure in your heart too, Dave.
Oh, piss off! We are not saying happy birthday to Trek.
I want to say happy 45th birthday to Star Trek.
Crappy little whippersnapper of a show snapping at a Time Lord's heels. It can fuck right off.
Oh, my God.
And if we don't deserve our adult tag after that, then there's something wrong with the world.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the thing
is... Happy birthday, Star Trek.
Happy birthday, Star Trek.
Piss off.
Well, what's really cool about it is that here in Orlando, or actually, I guess I should say over at the Cape, which is like, you know, just a 45-minute drive from my house, the Kennedy Space Center Visitors Complex has a special Star Trek exhibit where they have...
They run out of decent things to show you.
Well, they have the...
They don't have any more shuttle launches.
They have the bridge of the Enterprise, the original bridge of the original Enterprise there set up, so you can wander around and sit in the captain's chair and that sort of stuff.
That's nice. They Does also, it say space travel looks nothing like this?
Yeah, pretty much. But they also have, a set from the... what was it? Was it the City on the Edge of... Forever, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's the little time gate, the little donut where what were that? The guardian. I think he was called the Guardian of Forever, where Kirk and Bones and Spock jump through and see Helen Keeler.
See Joe Collins get rolled over by a truck.
Anyway, they've got a Star Trek exhibit.
Is that the one?
At the They got a Star Trek exhibit at the Cape.
Is that the one? Is that the episode?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
That's
Joan Collins
fantastic.
Gets...
In which case, I'm going to take the TARDIS and be the driver of the frickin' truck.
So happy birthday, Star Trek. I love you very much. But I wanted to say that, you know, the exhibit is now being extended till the end of October, so October 31st. It was supposed to end September 1st, but they extended it. And Nichelle Nichols was there this past weekend, so that was kind of cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Intergalactic Space's first receptionist. Enterprise, how can I help you, people? It's not terribly often you'll hear me say this.
Uh-oh.
Star Trek is good. Star Trek is a very, very good series. It's very imaginative. It's not half as damn good as Doctor Who, but there you go. But it's very much of its time. It's very much a product of its generation. And, yeah, it's done very well to survive all this time. And it does have some fantastic concepts in it. It really, really does.
Oh, absolutely.
So yes, all right. Happy birthday, Star Trek. It's
yay!
Off.
So there is a little bit of Doctor Who news.
There is. There's a gentleman called Edward Russell who works in Doctor Who and, of course, worked on Sarah Jane as well. And he has been doing a charity fundraising walk called the Walk for Liz. And it's to raise money for the hospice that looked after Liz Sladen when she was diagnosed as being terminally ill before she died.
So when did he start? He started this like a week or two ago, or how long has he been walking so far?
It's been a fair few days. He's walking 150 miles from Cardiff to London.
Oh, okay.
And he's raising money for the Meadow House Hospice. Now, if you want to go and give, you can go on to just www.justgiving.com/walkforliz, and I will point out it's Liz, L-I-S, because it was Elizabeth with an S. So Walk for Liz. So far, he has raised £15,592.13.
Wow.
That is
bloody amazing.
That's pretty cool. Clear.
So if you want to, you know, you can still, it's not too late to go in and donate. So just go in, you know, anything at all, fiver, ten.
And all this money's going to the
£50,000
to the hospice that Elizabeth Sladen was at.
The Meadow House Hospice.
Ah.
They cared for Liz Sladen. So good for them. Thank you very much indeed. We owe them a debt of gratitude as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You can follow his progress on Twitter. He is the, you know, that stupid little @ at Edward Russell. So, hurrah.
Cool.
Very nice.
So, now we've got, when does Sarah Jane start again? And there's what's going on there?
It's not been confirmed yet, but we're looking at a couple of weeks. They're having a preview in London of the first episode.
Uh-huh.
And we're thinking it's going to be the week after that, so that's probably about 2 weeks' time.
Mm.
So that's going to be fun, but you know, last six episodes, looking forward to it, but with a large twinge of sadness as well. Because, of course, it will be the end.
Oh, that's going to be sad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't expect me to cry buckets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, buckets and such. But speaking of buckets, I got to go because there's a bucket somewhere for me. We got to go.
That link is possibly the worst thing I've heard in my life.
Speaking of buckets.
Okay, because Lewis seems to be unable to do this week without coughing and choking to death. Looking at the clock on Lewis's wall, which means I've got a very, very good line of sight. It's time to say goodbye for another week. We haven't got Leela to tell us all about the web address. Nancy.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's going to be Nancy. Nancy.
Why me? I have to look it up.
Okay, here. You go look it up and I'll tell the people this.
You want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at
twitter.com/hpatrol.
We're at the happinesspatrol.blogspot.com. That's where you can download episodes, which you can also do on iTunes.
Yes.
I'm prepared to bet it'll have its adult flag this week.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Even with Tara. You can drop Lewis an email at, something shit at gmail.com.
No, it's the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. And that's not just Lewis, that's all of us here at the Happiness Patrol, even if you want to talk to Dale. So that happens.
I'll see you. Put that bloody pen down, Bailey.
Yeah. We're also on Facebook, so go look us up on Facebook. So the Happiness Patrol, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't update Facebook or anything else.
Yeah,
like
we
that.
Do. We update it every now and then. And I'll tell you why we update it, because I am heavily pushing the Doctor Who Podcast Exchange Program. Podcasters, if you've got somebody you want to trade out for like a week, well, not a week, but for an episode.
They have to live in your living room for
a week. We're going to camp out on your couch for a week. I hope you don't buy my stinky shoes. So
that will be fun. If you actually want somebody who, A, has a ukulele, doesn't stop singing, and eats, well, rather gruesome sounding puddings, yes. Or if you want somebody who literally has to share their bandwidth with children, or if you want a grumpy bastard who swears far too much and frankly couldn't give you the time of day if he'd asked for it before he's had 18 cups of tea, then do drop us a line.
Absolutely. We even have Leela for sale or trade or whatever. So
doesn't show up, she's still absent. So Leela, hurry up and get better. Tara, hope you're all right out there. In the meantime, he's Lewis B.
I'm Lewis B.
I'm Nancy A.
And this has been a kindness.
We'll see you guys next week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Leela S., and you've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
So it's you and me, listeners. Hello, listeners. How have you been? What's going on? Right, let's give you a quick... What have you been up to? Anything nice recently? I see what you've done to your hair. I quite like that. Yes, very nice indeed. Although not too sure about those colours going together with your clothes. Still, you know, you can't have everything. Been anywhere nice recently? Going on your holidays? Really? Okay. I've been trying to go on holiday recently, but the TARDIS refuses to take off. She's not terribly well at the minute, is the old girl. I tried to take her to Sheffield and she wouldn't land there. I can hear them coming back.